news. I mean, you can't watch the news and without, it's just overwhelming. And if you are a type of person that deals with anxiety or gets overwhelmed easily, I'm not, but even just the amount of trying to sort out the different information and sort out what is real, not real, gets overwhelming. And then, you know, the discussions in the family, and it just, you know, it gets really, really overwhelming. Then we have to find rest, and we're supposed to find rest. So it's having rest in God. We're in Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. Hebrews is the letter written. It's for the Jews that were converting over to Christianity. Not all of them had bought into it. Not all of them were all in. So they wrote him this letter trying to explain, and they were still stuck in their old religious ways. And remember, at that time, all the Torah and the Old Testament, they knew, and they knew them well. So there, we'll use some reference in there. Like I said, we're having rest in God, Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. All right, so I'm just going to go ahead and dive right in, and we'll start here. In Hebrews 4, 1 through 13, this is the NHB, A Believer's Rest, starting in the beginning. Therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short. Let's bow our heads real quick and pray. Father God, I just ask you, allow me to be your vessel, Lord, that your word jumps off the pages of this Bible, Lord, and just speaks to us here, Lord. May us take this opportunity to see that rest, real spiritual rest, only comes through you, Father. Again, thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So it says there, therefore let us fear, if while promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. The promise of rest is today. In this message today, you're going to hear some opportunities. There are going to be some what I'll call pre-Christians and Christians. Those are the ones that haven't found the Lord yet, and there's an opportunity. Every message, whoever's up here, if it's Matt, if it's Keaton, whoever's up here, every message is a salvation message. Every message should lead to the work of Christ on the cross. Every message should lead us to Christ. So the promise of rest is today. It's not a physical rest, but it's a spiritual rest. It wasn't in Canaan. It wasn't in the promised land. It's in Jesus Christ. And see, they're still associating in Hebrews going into a promised land and everything that came with it. And it's not a matter of your religion giving you rest. It's a matter of finding your rest in Jesus Christ. You must go all the way. You must seal the deal. You're going to hear that probably two or three times in there. Make the commitment. Seal it. Even for some of us that are on the fence or have been in this church or been in a walk, make the commitment. Believe in the promises. Go on to number two. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who had heard. The Israelites didn't benefit from going to the promised land. They didn't believe in God. They had sent the spies, and the spies, it's too good. It can't be it. We see it, it's there, but we're just not going to believe in it. We're not going to believe God. We're not going to believe what he has told us. He got us through the 40 days. He got us through the desert, through the wasteland. He's provided everything he needed to provide. You know what? We're still not going to believe it. That's what I don't understand. He provides manna. He provides light. He provides light in the darkness. He provides shade for them. Everything they need, there it is. Yet, they don't believe it. And all we have is his word and faith. The recipient of this letter needed to understand that the old way of Judaism doesn't provide salvation. It only points the real salvation to Jesus. The Old Testament points to Jesus. And you'll hear comparison of Moses and of all these Old Testament. They put so much emphasis on their prophets, yet they don't believe and trust in Jesus. We do that. We put our trust in knowledge instead of just putting our trust in Jesus himself. Let's see if I can get that to work. You don't get saved by people speaking words around you, but by hearing and believing, then confessing God's word of salvation. Now, I challenged you last week to go out and share. I shared a story about talking to another gentleman, somebody else hearing us. And yes, that's how we spread it. But that person didn't get saved just because I was talking about Jesus. Johnny and I could be standing out in the parking lot talking about how God worked his life. If somebody walks by, that doesn't get them saved. They need to still step out. They still need to do what they need to do. But our calling for all of us is to share the gospel and grow the kingdom of Christ. So it's not enough to speak it. You can't get saved by speaking it. Me up here sharing the gospel with you isn't going to save you. There's only one way. But you have to seal it and you have to cross over and believe in his promises. You can believe anything you want, but if you won't actually have it effect on you, what good is it? You can have all the Bible knowledge you want. There's a gentleman that I'm familiar with that I know him quite well. He can spit. I could say, what's the word of God say about having strife with your brother? And he'll give me multiple scriptures and multiple translations. But if I was to introduce you to him, you're like, that is one mean, angry man. You wouldn't be able to see Jesus in him at all. Got all the book knowledge he wants. I'll send him a text message or an email. Say, hey, what do you think on this? Because he's got great knowledge. He's not applying it. I'll be honest with you. I've known him for quite a long time. And it's not my place to know if he's saved, but that's one person that I don't know if he's saved. He knows the Word of God. He's religious. He knows it. But he doesn't even have a church he attends because he doesn't believe the pastor, or he can't find a pastor that he trusts yet. So he church hops. Kind of likes this guy for a little bit and then that guy because he has so much knowledge, but yet he's not willing just to drop that knowledge and let God and believe in God's promises and let God work in his life. I don't know. Maybe he is. I'll be surprised when we get there. In Romans 10, 8 through 10, a little cross-reference, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith in which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Amen. That's what it's about right there. Again, believing. There are still people out there that just, that can't be that simple. Can't be that simple. Let's go on and finish in Hebrews. For we who have believed enter the rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You have to enter into the rest, believe and trust in what Jesus says. Again, remember, they were crossing over. And they had every sign God was with them. Just some of them didn't believe. And I know I kind of simplified and so it can't be that. I'm telling you, it's that simple. Yeah, but I'm not ready to change. Or I believe, but I'm not there yet. I believe, but I don't like reading the Word of God. All right, I said the prayer and that's just enough. Well, you're right. That is just enough. I'm sorry it is. Well, we can have a theological discussion on that. But I do believe that God changes your heart. And it could be just at that time changing that I'm not good enough. And it's not about works. But you have to believe it. Only you know if you believe or not. Now, there's some things, and I've talked to some people in this room, there's some things that are very confusing about this Bible. I think it's simple. But it can get difficult when you start trying to apply it to your life. And again, that's where the faith and the belief comes in. Like, there's no way it'll happen. A lot of us, especially us, want to change right now. Okay, I made a decision. Let's go. Let's move forward. That's slow. I'm not a patient man. So a lot of times I got to rely on it's his timing and not mine. You have to enter into the rest, believe and trust in what Jesus says. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, And God rested on the seventh day for all his work. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. See, God has planned this from the very beginning. It's not like he created everything on the seventh day, just put his feet up and said, all right, I'm resting, I'm done. Well, he had all this work to do. All the main body of work was done. It's the same thing. Okay, I found Jesus, and all right, I'm done. I'll just believe everything, and I'll just get his rest. Yeah, it's that simple until you start having life getting away. And the process and everything you're dealing with, God has never done working in your lives. In Psalms 139, I believe in 13 through 16, it says in there that he thinks of you, his thoughts of you are more than the sands at the beach. I paraphrase. But he's thinking of you. It wasn't that on the sixth day he rested and it's done. He is thinking of everybody in this room in one day. And this morning he's already thought of all of us. He is that big. I don't think we can comprehend how big God is. That he can think about me this morning. And when I surrender and say, God, make me your best vessel. All right, take Mike out of this. He can believe in Mike in the back of the room. He can believe in Dale in the back of the church. He's there. He's thinking of them. He's praying for them. He's showering his love. He's doing everything on his part. But he's so big that he's thinking of all of us. And I can't comprehend that. I'm trying to think, well, maybe it's like a big computer that can process. No, he is just, and I'm going to steal this term from a friend of mine down. They used it all week and it's been stuck in my head. He is a supernatural God. He is just bigger than we can comprehend. And I think a lot of times we try to put him in our little box, our little worldly box. Our brain, only our brains can fit this. So God has planned all of this. He's planned your life. He knows you. And he's still working. That doesn't mean that God just sat back after creating the world. No, he has been active ever since. But the plan was already in place. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And like, oh, that's predestined. We still have the free will, but he is omnipresent. Again, I don't think we can comprehend with our little human brains how powerful he is. And what do? If I can't understand it, well, I'll just give my reality to it. I was talking with Dale this morning. A lot of times we're guilty of perspective. My perspective is my truth, is my reality. It's not the truth. It's just my perspective. But what I see is all I know. But it's not the truth. It's just your perspective. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying that through David, after so long a time, just as been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We as Christians, it's not a matter of you're losing your salvation, but we fail to believe his promises. And we allow life. You know, my biggest stress where I can't even get rest driving around here is deer. I almost hit a deer. I think I called Matt excited. I was not excited. I was frustrated. I was scared. I was mad at these deer that jumped out in front of me. At 5:30, 6 o'clock, I called you about that time, all worked up. He's like, what's Krieger's? What's wrong with him? It's just deer. I have panic, and it's going to end up in a car with me, and it's going to kick, all these things. So we allow those things. And now when I drive down the road, I'm driving with Sophie last night. We decided to drive an hour to McDonald's to get a frap at 9 o'clock at night. But I had rest knowing that they only come out between 5 and 7. I'm believing what I'm being told. So I guess at 9 o'clock at night, there's no deer. I don't know. Don't tell me, I don't want to know. But that's the rest. I can't rest because of that. We're sleeping in a bed that's not ours, and it meets in the middle, So I don't know how many people, I'm used to having my side of the bed, which is about that much, and then my wife has the rest. But last night we kept meeting in the middle. So maybe that was God's plan for us to meet in the middle, you know. It's a physical rest that we strive for, and He can provide that. But it's the spiritual rest. It's all this worry that we have with this disease or this illness that's going around. It's life. It's I'm a father, and I worry about my children. And you stay up at night staring at the ceiling. Are they okay? Are they good? Those are the things that we need to surrender to the Lord. It's not a matter you shouldn't think of them. It's, oh, you're a Christian. You don't have any stress. No, you have those things, but you have to rely on His promises and rely on His Word. And the only way to know those and to have that comfort is by being in His Word. Don't harden your hearts. We harden our hearts with life. We don't allow God to keep tenderizing and keeping our hearts soft and relying on Him. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Psalms 95, it's a great Psalms to read. I think I have the part that I need here. Psalms 95, 6 through 11. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your heart. I can never say these names. And as in the day of Messiah in the wilderness, when your father tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work. Don't harden your hearts. Don't try and do it. We have a habit of trying to do things our own way. It's not a self-help book. It's not a matter of get over it, suck it up. It's a matter of believing in Him. It's a matter of keeping your heart tender and believing His promise. And I know it's a lot easier said than done, but that comes with only spending time. Don't come here just on Sunday and spend time in the Word, having me read it to you and share it and break it down. Do it daily. Do it multiple. Do it before you start your day. Finish your day in His Word. I'm talking with Bob in the back of the room, and it's pretty confusing sometimes, right, Bob? Like, I don't get it. All right. That's why we're supposed to get together and share. Bob and I meet on Thursdays. If anybody wants to meet on Thursdays, we're here 4 to 6 just to talk. It's not even really a Bible study. We're just talking. But be in His Word. Pray. Pray for clarity. Pray that the words jump off the page. And when they start doing it, I think everybody's experienced it, and you're like, whoa, I got that. I know sometimes I'll go into the room excited with my wife. I'm like, hey, check this out. This is what this is and how I got it. And she's like, yeah, that's nice. I'm like, it doesn't work. Or she'll come in the room and she's like, hey, I was reading here and it says this and it really spoke to me. And of course I will, hey, that's awesome, sweetheart. That's good. And then she's like, you're not even listening to me. Repeat what I just said to you. And she's right. Most of the time, I'm not. But it's a matter of finding someone, or having fellowship. If you're blessed with a husband or wife, or husband or wife, share that gospel. I was talking to Bob. There's nothing more intimate than reading the Word of God with your partner. Nothing even more intimate than that is praying with your partner, praying for your partner. For a husband to grab his wife's hand out of blue, she's going to be suspicious, gentlemen. But if you just grab her out of blue and say, you know what, honey, let me pray for you. She's going to be suspicious. You're either going to want to go hunting or buy a truck or whatever. Let me chase a rabbit for a second. I have never noticed how many times in the Word of God it talks about farming and how you guys must get a different way when you read the Word of God. Obviously, it's obvious that you sow and you reap and there's work in the ground. But it kind of just jumps out to me. So if you are a farmer and you work with your hands and you work the ground, the Word of God's got to be even more powerful to you because you get to see His work through your toil and see the end result. I think a lot of people that just sit behind a computer screen have a hard time seeing the wonders of God's work. And I'm not trying to make light of your work because I know it's a tough job. I've learned what the meaning of you can lose the farm means just by discussing with everybody here. It's a tough way to make a living. But you can, when you can see God's work from a seed and the end product, it's pretty amazing to me. Maybe you guys grew up with it and you just don't see it, but it's amazing to me to see the process. And when I read the Word of God, it really jumps out to me when he talks about reaping and sowing. All right, so we're in Hebrews 10. For 40 years I loathed, For 40 years I loathed the generation that said, they are people who err in their heart and do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. That's Psalms 95. The rest of the promised land was there, but only Joshua and Caleb entered in. They obeyed and had faith in God. The rest in Jesus is there, and some will enter into it by faith in him. Is this your day when you would choose to enter and rest offered to Jesus? And I talked to Nan in the back of the room, and Nan, you've been on my heart, and I would do a disservice to the Lord to just assume that everybody in this room knows the Lord. But today is a day. Tomorrow's not promised. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, if God is speaking to you at this moment, at the end of the day, at the end of the service, come and speak to one of us. There are some great, wise people in the Lord in this room. All right. It's not a matter of coming up and saying a magic prayer. But you'll know. And it's okay to ask. But it's today's your day. So rest by trusting in Jesus. Rest from striving for the works of righteousness, but rest in God's righteousness. It's not about works. It's not about how many good things you do. A lot of times it's not our intention, but we get caught up in it. And I've learned moving up here, and it's been eye-opening. This is a church of workers. This is a community of people that work. And a lot of times when we have a lifestyle of being workers and we get into the Word of God and we belong to a church and we start making our identity in Christ our job and what we do. A lot of times we make our identity, and we spoke last week about identity and how God can identify the woman that was bleeding as his daughter. But I think a lot of times we make, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a worker. That's who our identity is. You're a child, you're a son and daughter of Christ. And it's his righteousness, and it's his work that completes you. Nothing you can do. You can't do enough good things. There's not enough beads to read or pray over. There's not enough. You can't. All the fancy words in prayer, all the ritual, everything that goes with it. You can. The gentleman I spoke of, you can know the Word of God and yet not know who he is. Because he'll tell you, he tells us in his Word, that people will stand before him. I did this in your name. I prophesied in your name. I healed in your name. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I did not know you. So he wants to know you. He knows you. He wants you to know him. He wants to have a relationship. My goal here in this church is get to know every one of you and for you to get to know me so we can have a relationship, so we can have accountability, so we can have prayer together, so we can have fellowship together, so we can build a community. If we can build this community, imagine what we can do outside of these four walls. For if Joshua had given them rest, he wouldn't have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered in his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Jesus is better than Moses. You're like, ooh, what do you need to put that in there for? Because the Jews and the Hebrews still had Moses as their person to follow, as their example to follow. Jesus is better than Moses, better than Joshua, who led Israel into and settled the promised land. But if that had been the final plan of God, it would have said today in Psalms 95 we read, written by David much later, hundreds of years later. Today. the Sabbath rest or Sabbath life. Now, I get in a lot of trouble, and we could go to the back of the room later on. If you want to have coffee and lunch, we'll talk about the Sabbath. It's an agreement between God and the Jews. We have the Sabbath. We have the seventh day. We do have a day of rest. But it's a life of rest. It's a Sabbath life. The work is done. Jesus did that on the cross. It's a shadow of the rest from the work that has been, because Jesus has finished the work of gaining righteousness for us. We don't need to honor the Sabbath to do good for more righteousness, to be God happy with us. We're commanded to. It's a day of rest. It's infinite wisdom for us to do that. We come together at church. We have fellowship. I spoke to a couple of you like, look, I'm not there every Sunday, and I hope, but that's okay. I mean, I want you to be here. You need to be here. I do believe to have fellowship, be around like-minded. But you know what? If you're just tired, it's okay. I'm not going to judge you. Where were you at, Dale? You weren't there on Sunday. Shame on you. That's not what it's about. And you shouldn't be coming here out of obligation. What's Mike going to think? I wasn't there. What's Matt going to think? We weren't there. You should be coming here because you want to come. You should be excited about coming here. It could be earlier. It could be 7 in the morning at the men's group. I'm just happy it's 8 o'clock now. It's fine. All right. You should want to be here. You should be excited. Colossians 2, 16 through 17. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or as a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. It's not this building. It's not coming here on Sundays, Fridays, Thursdays. We come from a community that's very religious, and they go to church 5 out of the 7 days a week. It's not a matter of what day you go. It's not even a matter of coming here. It's a matter of whether you know Christ or not. It's a matter of your relationship. Are you listening to Him? Are you talking to Him? Are you reading His Word? Is He talking to you? And there are days you feel that He won't. But keep praying. Stay on your knees. Don't worry about being judged. There's accountability. I've invited certain men in this group, men downstairs, to hold me accountable. If I'm slipping or whatever it is, just hold me accountable. I invite you into my life. It's transparent. I think you can't be in this position and live a secret life. I have to be transparent. And unfortunately for my family, that means they'll get attacked. It happens. But it's accountability. We create those relationships. Let us therefore strive to enter rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Strive means enthusiastic effort. No one may fall. It is, again, bringing up the idea that those who fell in the desert because they rejected God's promise and were thus disobedient. What's being offered to us is the most important gift in the universe. It's worth enthusiasm and effort. It's not a work that strive. It's when you are feeling down, stay in His Word. When life is getting you and you need rest, believe in His promises, believe in His prayer. You can't strive and have rest. How do you work and have rest? No, it's a matter of striving, knowing what you believe. And on the days that you have doubt, pray even harder, read His Word, reach out. I was bragging a little bit about the church down in Florida on how I'm blessed. We have a church that I'm allowed to be a member and be part of, this church that have people that know the Word of God, that are community-minded, that love each other, that I feel that I can be transparent with. Mike came to mind. I'm glad that Mike is here today. That gentleman has a great gift of prayer and interceding on behalf. And, you know, I've asked Mike to pray for me, and I pray for Mike. If I call you out and you're uncomfortable with it, talk to me afterwards. We're family. And, you know, I know some people aren't comfortable with it. Mike, I hope I'm not making you feel uncomfortable as I called him out again. Listen, I see what you post on Facebook. You're not a shy man. So, but it takes effort on our part. I'm going to use a reference. Listen, there is a virus out there. Wash your hands. It takes effort. Wash your hands. You know, if you're touching doorknobs, if you don't want to shake hands, it takes effort. We have to do what we can do to help control this. All right? It's just a matter, oh, I'm saved. I'm just willy-nilly going to run through there and hug everybody and touch everything. And there's a video on Facebook of a little girl licking a handrail at a theme park. That was before the virus. And I said, if I don't care about Corona was a person, it shows this little girl. Listen, we still have to do things on our part. All right? Just because you're saved, you have to read the Word of God. You have to pray, okay, in order to grow. It's not part of salvation, but if you want to grow, delve into His Word of God. 12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. He knows everything. So start living a transparent life with God. Just know it. Just believe that. He knows your heart. He knows what's in your soul. He knows you. So when you can start living a transparent life and having that relationship with Him, you'll start finding rest. Word of God is living. When He speaks, things happen. And is active, effective, does whatever God intends it to do. It is a two-edged sword. Again, I find peace and hope in His Word. And what makes this Bible difficult at times is when we start applying it to our lives, to ourselves. And that's when it cuts. That's when it cuts to the marrow, cuts through the bone. God has said both in the Old and New Testament is more than just mere words. They do things, including the ability to penetrate our defenses and go right to the center of who we are and what we want. Our soul could be thought of as what causes life, and the Spirit is what reaches out to God. So our soul is what He is touching and getting, and it's causing us to live. And His Spirit is what causes us to reach out to God and seek God. It sounded much better in my head than when I wrote it down. I catch myself doing it. I'm like, I thought that was a great words of wisdom, but I'll skip it. We cannot ignore the rest that God has offered. His word of the rest will penetrate us and reveal our true intentions and our true nature of our souls. Again, when you pray, when you're reading the Word, life's going to get there. You have your kids. You have your job. You have your spouse. You have your family. Your bills. Everything gets in the way. I am not a prosperity preacher. And that's a whole other subject that we can spend lots of time talking about. God provides what you need. If you spend all your time praying for Him to do things for you and to provide things for you, He can. But He knows, He wants to work in you. He wants you to work with Him in working with you. And whatever that is, whatever He's affecting you. I know one of the prayers that I have recently and I could ask you to pray with me is for me not to be so nonchalant about this move with my wife, because it's not working. It's not giving her comfort at all when I'm like, it's okay. God is in control. I needed to start seeing things so I could help her and help our relationship, seeing things of how she sees them. And God is revealing it to me. And now I'm scared about this move. So, but it's about finding rest. All right, conclusion. Hey, I got to start wrapping it up. I'm getting better. The resting place God used on the seventh day is still available to His people. We can go to that place. So why do we still strive so much? Relax and let His Spirit invade you, bring you His righteousness and His direction. That is not mine. I stole that. For those of us that can't find rest that are pre-Christians that don't know the Lord, There's only one way to get rest, and that's to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not going to understand all this. If He's tugging at your heart today, come see me at the end. For those of us that are Christians, and we still struggle finding rest, and we get our anxiety, and I do believe there's anxiety. I do believe there's people deal with it and struggle with it. I do believe it's real. I do believe in Christian counseling. I do believe in counseling. I know it's real. I have friends and family that deal with it on a daily basis. But we still can find rest in His Word and start applying it. If just in small baby steps, in the tiniest things, start applying it in the tiniest things, it'll grow. So I'm going to ask you today, what is stealing your rest? What are you allowing? Do a heart search. Spend some time with the Lord today. Spend some time on your knees today or your alone place or your prayer closet. Pray for what's going on. Pray that our leaders will have wisdom. Pray for all those that are suffering. Pray for all those that are... She's coughing. Uh-oh. But also pray that God reveal to you what's stealing your rest. And then start applying what He reveals to you in your life. So I'm going to ask everybody, actually we need to do the offering. All right, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to wrap up with prayer. We'll do the offering. We'll worship. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, thank You. Thank You for the opportunity to come again together, Lord. Thank You for Your Word today, Lord. Thank You for dying on the cross for us, Father. Thank You for allowing salvation for each and everybody in this room, Lord. Thank You for giving us rest in Your finished work, Father. I just pray for myself and everybody in this room, Lord, that as You reveal Your will and Your need in our lives, Lord, that as we pray to You, that You reveal to us how we can further trust in Your Word and get rest in Your Word, Lord. We pray for these offerings, Lord, and we know everything comes through You. And for those of us that strive and work hard, Lord, that we can have comfort and rest knowing that You are the great provider. In Your name we pray. Amen. You want to stand for worship?